Hallelujah. Well, you know, I told you that I've been going back and looking at I got a lot of good sermons that I preached, and I only preach them one time, and they put them in a book, so I don't preach them again. And I noticed that in my book, Listen to Your Heart, Hearing God in a Noisy World, I noticed that that was put in a book in 92, so I preached it before that, and I hadn't done it since then. But, you know, Peter says that as long as he's in his body, he's going to keep reminding his people. And I'm going to keep reminding you, and I'm going to go back over some of these. In fact, if you don't get the book, it's out there. Listen to Your Heart, part one. Actually, this is the first chapter. What I'm talking about today is the first chapter in this book. Proverbs 20:27. Proverbs 20:27. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. You know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you'll be successful and fulfill God's plan for your life. It's quite possible to live your life on earth and miss out on fulfilling everything that God has for you. You don't have to, but it's possible for people to do that. Be saved and go to heaven and never get where. You see, you know, Hebrews 12:1 says that therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The only way to successfully run your race that God has set before you is to learn how to listen to his guidance. You know, and that's by listening to your heart. You know, what I'm talking about is the spirit of man, the recreated spirit of man. Actually, my father used to say, this is one of the most important lessons that you will ever learn in life. And the earlier you learn it, the better off you are. This was one of the things that he talked about before you can get your love walk working, before you can have your faith that you're supposed to have. You got to learn how to listen to your heart. That's the most important. How to be led by the Spirit, he called it. I call it listening to your heart. You know, he was known as the modern-day father of faith, but he was also a man that listened to the Holy Spirit, leading of the Spirit of God on the inside of him. You know, some people got a hold of his teaching on the faith message, but they never got a hold of his teaching on how to be led by the Spirit. And it's the same, listening to the heart. Now, okay, the inward man is your spirit. Well, what am I referring to when I say listen to your heart? Well, I am not referring to this muscle that sits inside of your chest that they call a heart that pumps blood through our body and pulls it back and recirculates it over and over again. You know, we're not talking about that. Now, have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I mean that from the bottom of my heart? Yes. How many of you ever heard that? You ever heard somebody say, that person has a big heart? And in athletics, people say it all the time, man, they got a lot of heart. How many of you in athletics heard that one? Well, they're not talking about the muscle that pumps the blood. See, we got to understand when people are talking about heart, what they're talking about. Actually, they were talking about what's on the inside of you. It's what they're really talking about when they say, I love you with all my heart. Or, you got a lot of heart. You got a big heart. Now, the Bible teaches us that man possesses, is a spirit. That is the heart of man. In fact, there's about 830 references if whoever I got this from is correct, because I didn't go count them, okay? That refers to heart in the Bible. And very few of them are refer to the physical heart. Most of the scripture references to heart are refer to the unseen center of man, the inward man, the spirit man. 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians, now we're going to have a lot of scripture in this, so you better hook up with me and let's go. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. 1 Peter 3:4. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And, you know, that's a couple of scriptures in the New Testament there. Now, let's look at the Old Testament and find the word heart in the Old Testament. You know, when we're talking about heart in the Word of God, we're talking about that intangible center of man. Intangible means not made with physical substance. It's not something that you can touch. Now, look at this. David, here in 1 Chronicles 12:16-17. Then the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, if you have come peaceably me to help me, my heart will be united with you. Right there. He said, David is speaking of being united with them in heart. You can't unite yourself with the two physical hearts. You don't unite them, but you can unite with somebody in spirit. Hello. He wasn't talking about the physical heart. Then in 1 Chronicles 12:38, the people of Israel were of one heart to make David the king. Again, this has nothing to do with the physical heart. The Israelites unified. They had a unified desire to make David their king. To use this interpretation for the physical heart of man would be utterly ridiculous, because, you know, that's not what it's talking about. Now, why am I talking to you about this? Because, see, a lot of you already know this, but you need to be reminded of it. And then you got to remember, we have new people coming in all the time that they're not up where you are. Hello? Now, some people do not recognize the existence of the spiritual part of man, the inner of the heart of man. They try to explain this in physical terms. The nature and essence of man is spiritual, not physical. Now man is a spirit. He has or has a soul or possesses a soul, and he lives in a body. See, spirit, soul, body. Look at it. Look at Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likenesses. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle of the earth and so forth. And then 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he was created. Male and female he created them. And now that's where it says it right there. I'll go on. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, now I want you to notice it says in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can this physical heart have thoughts? No. So it's got to be talking about the real man on the inside, the right here, the spirit man. That's when he's talking about in the heart. Now we go into the New Testament. And let's look at this. We're going to look at the word heart again. Turn to your neighbor and say heart. We're going to Mark 11:23. Who knows Mark 11:23? Now I know more than that because very few of you raised your hand. Now how many of you know Mark 11:23? That's what I thought. All of us do. It is our cornerstone scripture, is it not? For surely I say to you, whoever says this mountain be thou removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This physical heart we have to keep the physical body going. But it can't believe, it can't think, and that's what we saw here. Thoughts, intents of the heart, believe with the heart. It's talking about the real man, the spirit man on the inside. It's talking, you know, we have to begin to understand this. When we understand this, then we can begin to realize what it's talking about and how it's talking to us about believing with our real man. Now, Peter says it like this in 1 Peter 3:4. Peter says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Then in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The New Living Translation of that 4:16, 2 Corinthians 4:16, says, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. The hidden man of the heart, the inward man. The spirit is the real man. It's the part that will live with us forever. Now, let's go on. God communicates with his children through our heart or our spirit. How many of you have children? How do you communicate with them? Through the physical body, right? Speech, writing. So if God is going to connect with his children, he has to do it in the way that he can do it. If I'm going to connect with those grandboys sitting right down there, or my son sitting there, I have to connect with them in the way that we do it in the physical. Is that not correct? So if I'm going to connect with God, then I've got to do it the way it has to be done. And I want you to notice in Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, look at John 4:24. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. John 4:24. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, look at this. Let's go back and look at Genesis, the first part of Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Then if he is, if it says right here in John 4:24, God is a spirit. Well, if he's going to make us in his image, we have to have a spirit. And it says right here, if we worship him or we communicate with him, we got to communicate with him in spirit. Hello. That's why when we communicate in the Holy Spirit or speaking with another language, then it's our spirit talking. It's not coming through our head. It's sure not. We sure don't know it. But our spirit is communicating with God. Have you understand what I'm saying to you? See, sometimes I realize many of you have heard this before, but it don't hurt us to be reminded of it. Get us back in. Hey, man, I need to tune up my spirit because that's what I communicate with God with. Hello. See, let's go back to Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the inner depths of the heart. Notice, spirit of man, not body, not soul, is the lamp of the Lord. In other words, the spirit of man is the light bulb for the Lord. What does it do? What does a light bulb do? Gives light and dispels darkness. See, the same thing happens when our spirit becomes alive to God and we begin to get a hold of the things of God, then our spirit becomes alive and shows us things that we need to drop off. Come on. See, we go back and read that one scripture, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have surrounded so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. You see, when we have the light shining into our spirit, the light of God, then our spirit will begin illuminated and begin to show us things that we need to drop off. This is not something you're going to get excited about, but it's something that you need to hear, because you need. You see, he said weights. Weights. There's some things it won't send you. It won't keep you from going to heaven, but it's a weight that will keep you from fulfilling everything that God has for you to do. You know, when I was running track in high school, I used to warm up with some weights strapped around my ankles, and I warmed up with my baseball shoes on, my baseball cleats, steel cleats, and then I had on a heavy sweatsuit, and that's what I did to warm up. But when I got ready to race, the weights come off. The baseball shoes come on, and my track shoes went on, which are light. I pulled off those sweatpants and that sweatshirt, and I had on a singlet and a pair of thin shorts. Why? Because I'm going to run a race now. That stuff, I could run with that on. But guess what? I'm going to come in last, too. Because I got too much weight. I'm carrying too much weight. You know, Cameron, all you know that Cameron drives race cars. Well, they got a certain weight. With the driver in the car, it's got to weigh a certain amount. What's your sprint car got to weigh? I forgot now. 1550? It's got to weigh 1,550 pounds with the driver in it. Now, Cameron's a big boy. He goes across the scales, and he's way over that limit. So what do we have to do? We have to see what kind of materials and things that we can do on that car that will eliminate some of the weight, because he's going to add weight when he gets in. Now, some of the guys are so light that they have to add weight to their car. We're trying to take as much weight as well. You know, now we got that fuel cell back there, that tail tank with a fuel cell in it. Well, that's one of the heaviest parts on the car, but they're making them now that they call lightweight fuel cells. Well, he has to have one, because he needs all the weight off he can. Because the more weight you have on, the slower your car goes. How many understand what I'm talking to you about? Hey, it's the same thing with us in our race with God. And it says, run the race, endurance, lay aside the weights. Get rid. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit does when he begins, when you begin to understand who the spirit man is on the inside, he will begin to show you things that you might need to lay aside. I didn't say that they were sins. I didn't say that they wouldn't keep you from going to heaven. They're just hindrances. Ooh. Come on now. I know that's not shouting time material, but it's good stuff. Come on, Pastor, keep preaching. I believe I will. Thank you. Thank you for that encouragement. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know that. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then John 14:17. See, this just reiterates what I've been saying in the natural. The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He can communicate with the Lord because it says that he won't speak of himself, but he'll speak of what the Lord says. See, that's the way we're led by the Holy Spirit, by our spirit in every situation. Do you want to successfully follow God's plan for your life? If so, you need to live constantly aware that you are a spirit being. Turn to somebody there and say, you are a spirit being. Now point at yourself and say, I am a spirit being. And now point to your head and say, I have a soul. Your emotions, that's what your soul is, your emotions up here. And I live in a body. That's who we are, spirit, soul, and body. Now it takes all three of them for us to live a proper life. It takes the spirit man on the inside to be connected with God, right? It takes our soul, our emotions, our intellect to be able to operate in the natural, and we sure have to have the body. So it takes all three of them to contact the worlds that we need to contact and live successfully. I don't know about you, but I want to live successfully in spiritually and in the natural. So if I want to live successfully in the spiritual world, then I realize I'm a spirit man, so I got to feed on the Word of God. If my body's going to be strong and successful, I got to feed on natural food. If I'm going to be successful in business or whatever, I got to educate the mind. Come on, it's just that simple, really. You know, sometimes, you know, now I could get into the... the theology of this thing, and I could give you words, you know, like, now you need to understand the pneuma man, and you need to understand it. Also, you need to understand pneumatology. And as you understand that you are a pneuma man, then you can understand pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we could get into all of that. But that's only good for us in the classroom. When I get out here talking to you, I can't take you to the theology book and start giving you theological stuff because you don't understand it. Hello? Just like I there's no use for somebody to try to me to go work with try to get a computer program. Some of you can do it, but I can't because I don't understand it. I haven't been trained in it. See, what am I saying to you? We got to train our spirit man to be in tune with God at all times, at all places, constantly, consistently, not just when you get in trouble. See, in every situation, you've got to learn to respond from the heart or from the spirit. You can't respond from the head, your five physical senses, If you live according to natural circumstances, sometimes you're going to get in trouble. You got to live according to the supernatural. Seek direction from God. Don't try to figure it out yourself. God's got it figured out. There's somebody said, well, I can't figure this out. I can't either, but I'm not even going to try because God's got it. Yep. You know, the conclusion that you try to figure out might not be God's plan for your life, and you end up messed up. Hello, don't look at me like that. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? Now, let me on the other hand say, come back, because there's somebody will get so far over in the spiritual that you'll throw all your physical senses away. No, we need both. See, sometimes when some people teach some of these things, they get so far over here that they leave the impression that you don't ever need your physical senses. Have you ever heard somebody teach and you thought that? Anybody? The way they taught, you thought, well, man, I don't need the physical, I just need the spiritual. Hey, if you put your hand on a hot stove and it tells you to get it off, you better listen to your physical sense. Hello. See, because we live in this world with our physical senses. That's why God gave them to us. But we live in the spiritual world with our spirit man. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, what I'm talking about with the spirit man is problems that come up. And things that come up that don't seem to have a solution. And a lot of times people want to run from the problem. They think if they run from it, then it'll go away. It won't. You know, your mind will tell you there's no way out. Your spirit man says, yes, there is. Your mind says, no, no way out. Your spirit man, if you listen to him, says, yes, there is. So you have to follow him. Successfully living the life that God wants you to live is learning how to listen to the spirit man on the inside for the spirit things the same way you listen to your physical senses for the natural things. Hello, we need both of them. I need my physical senses to tell me if I get too close to the edge here, my foot's starting to slip. I need my physical senses to back up. You're about to fall off this thing. Hello. We need to get to the same way with the spirit man on the inside. He can detect things out here. If you listen to him, he'll keep you out of trouble. I've told this before, but I'll tell it again. I don't know. I was about probably 6, 7, somewhere in there. And I remember that we had driven. Dad was, it was before he took it to the last church. I wasn't been 7 yet. I was probably 6 because it was before he took the last church and I started the school there. And we had driven over to, we had driven about 100 and something miles out of the way going to another meeting because this is when he pastored only 4 churches, and in between he was traveling ministry, and finally the last church he left, he traveled the rest of his life. Now, we had traveled over to Greenville, Texas. I never will forget it. He wanted to go and pray with Mama Papa Goodwin, because him and Mama Papa Goodwin, Candy knows them, they were sort of his mentors and so forth and prayer partners. And we started to leave. I can still see the little house now. Had a little white picket fence out here. We walking down the steps. I'd already got in the car, and I think Sis had too. And the gate opened there, and the car was right there. And Dad started to, he opened the door, actually, of the car. And then he said, we can't go now. Get out, kids. And we all went back in the house. And just sat down and talked for a little bit, about 15, 20 minutes. We talked. And then he said, okay, we can go now. Now, when we got out on the highway, we came up on a huge wreck. A gasoline tanker truck had turned over and spilled, I don't know how many hundreds of gallons, maybe a thousand, I don't know, of gasoline all over the highway, and it had ignited, and there was about, besides the tanker, there was about 15 cars that was engulfed in this huge flame. And Dad said, "Now, kids, this is why we couldn't leave. My spirit on the inside said, don't go now." It didn't tell me why, it just said, "Don't go now." If we had left whenever we started to leave, we would have been right here when this accident took place. Now, I'm 6 years old. That's my first time that I was ever taught about listening to the man on the inside. Listening to the man on the inside. Hey, you got to learn to listen to the man on the inside. It will keep you out of trouble. The Holy Spirit will minister to your spirit. It tells you what God, the Heavenly Father, says. You know, I mean, we told this, Lynette told it, but what? It was just a few months ago, I guess now, that you were leaving the office, going down, huh? Oh, was it several years ago? You just told it, so I thought just a few months ago. That she left the office, headed down 71st Street toward, what is that, Aspen down there? And as she approached the signal light down there, it was green. She could see it was green. And normally you would keep your foot on the accelerator, go on through. But something on the inside says, slow down, slow down. So she slowed down. And just as she got to the intersection, a car came flying through. She said it looked like going 100 miles an hour. Just boom. And if she had not have slowed down, she'd have been right here. Hit her right in the driver's door. That's what I'm talking about. Learning how to not only have your physical senses, which we need to live in this world, but to have your spiritual man in tune with the Holy Spirit to speaking with God. Because remember, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of here, and He'll tell you what He hears the Father say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit's direction in your heart. And you'll have victory every time. Anybody get anything out of this morning? I know it's a reteaching of some things that I've taught before, but man, I really enjoyed teaching it. In fact, it helped me. it rekindled me about how important the spirit man is. We don't sometimes understand here how important the spirit man is on the inside of us, how important it is for us to learn how to listen to the heart, the spirit of man, the hidden man of the heart, right here on the inside. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you today for your word that you've given us concerning the spirit of man. I pray, Father, that each of us will become more and more aware of listening to the spirit man. I thank you for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you happen to be in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, of course, that's the first step to learning how to commune with the Heavenly Father, is to become born again. Or if you're in here and you say, I know what it is, but I need to rededicate my life. I'm just not where I should be. Or you're here and you say, I go to church, but I don't know that I've ever accepted Christ or not. Right now, anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hands right now, anywhere in the room right now. Anybody on upstairs, downstairs, don't anywhere right now. There's a hand back here, I think. Is somebody pointing at a hand back there? Over here, thank you. Hallelujah. You need Christ. You need to rededicate. You need an also experience with Him. Father, we thank you right now. Hallelujah. Everybody stand, please. I saw this one hand. Maybe there was more, but I didn't see. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle and get down here right now. I want to shake hands with you and I want to pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came. So, come on right now. If you want to come down here and you don't want to walk by yourself, ask somebody. They'll walk down there with you. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Just come on. Bless you, buddy. Just wait right here, man. Here comes some more. Just stand right here, face me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Come on, guys. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. I know. Thanks for bringing him, man. Coming with him. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. This is your chance. Change your life forever. Just come on right now. Join these three that are down here right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, you guys, look at me. I got two books right here. One of them called New Birth. One of them called In Him. New Birth tells you about salvation. This tells you about who you are in Christ. If I put them out here like this, I said, I'm going to give them to you. What I got to do, get them. You got to reach out and grab them. You get them. Y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. I just do that as an exercise. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the thing you come down here. It's a spiritual thing, like I've been talking about. It comes from heaven on high. Just as he reached out and she reached out for those books, I want you to raise one hand toward heaven like this. I don't care which hand, just one of them. Congregation, reach your hands toward them and pray as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-soul experience with you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me. I want to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Get these books and some things. That room, we call it a prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And you say, what is Turning Point? Well, it's a class that you come to for a few times to get your life turned on to God or turned back on to God. And I'd like to see you in there next Sunday morning. Would you turn right there and see Greg? He's going to take you to that place of prayer. Hey, give him a hand as they go, everybody. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.